Trish and Rob McGregor welcome you to a place where all kinds of phenomena flourish. Here we meet authors, researchers, and investigators of the mysterious, the strange, and of the inexplicable anomalies that surround us. Step out of the everyday world and take a journey into the mystical underground.
Wait. We'll go ahead and start in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Mystical Underground. Thank you for joining us. This is Trish McGregor and
Rob McGregor
and our tech magician, John Posey. He's the invisible person there. You can go to themysticalunderground.com where we make regular blog posts where you can find out about our books. Among them are The Seven Secrets of Synchronicity, Sensing the Future, The Secrets of Spirit Communication, and Aliens in the Backyard. Our latest book is called Mind-Blowing Synchronicities, the Latest Science Stories and Research. Trish's most recent novel is Not Quite Human, which will be published April 17th. And Rob's most recent novel is called Tulpas. If you're watching us on YouTube, we would appreciate if you'd take a second to click the like, subscribe, and notification buttons so you don't miss an episode. If you prefer to listen to the show, it's available wherever you listen to podcasts. Please subscribe there.
Okay. Our guest today is Dick Larson, who is a counselor with a background in education, who is here to talk to us about meditation and practical spirituality. He has been a guest on radio talk shows nationwide, co-hosted a radio program, and produced and hosted a series of public access television shows that aired around the nation. Dick gives public lectures on ageless wisdom teachers and their relationship to what is happening in the world today. He is going to tell us about Maitreya, who is the prophesied future Buddha in Buddhism. His message is one of great hope for our future. Welcome, Dick.
Great to talk
Thank
to you.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Trish.
Yeah. Rob, can you
pronounce his name right? It is Maitreya. Very good.
You know, I looked up the pronunciation.
Good for you. Yeah. Now, that's a true professional right there.
Yeah.
Rob, keep talking into your microphone. I heard you well that time.
Okay, good.
That's better.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. So, Dick, things look kind of bleak in the world right now. How can we have great hope?
Well, it's kind of a long explanation, but I'll try to give you the short version.
Okay.
Astronomically, and if you want to call it astrologically, you can. But astronomically, we are going through a transition period here on Earth. The energies that have been bombarding the planet are changing. They're shifting over. And whenever that happens, it means we're leaving an old age and entering a new age. Okay. The astronomers call it the precession of the equinox. We call it the changing of the ages. But anyway, whenever that happens, there's chaos on the planet because there's two tremendous energies going on. And then as we move further into the next age, the energies synthesize down into just the energies of Aquarius. So once that happens, we're going to have a tremendous change, a positive change on this planet in the way we treat each other, the way we react to each other, and the way we relate to the spiritual universe.
So this has to do with Pluto entering Aquarius.
It has to do, well, not exactly.
Okay.
Maybe that goes along with it. But in 1625, in the last 2,000 years, let's start over. About every 2,000 years, we get a great teacher. 2,000 years ago, we were lucky. We got two of them. We got the Buddha first, who taught the wisdom of God. Then we got the great teacher, Jesus, who taught the love of God. And that was in the age of Pisces. Jesus was the teacher for the age of Pisces. And he knew what he was doing. I mean, it's the symbol for Pisces is the fish, right? He said, I'll make you fishers of men. He fed the crowd with fish. There's all these fish analogies. There's two symbols for Christianity, the cross and the fish. Most Christians can't tell you why the fish. It's because Jesus came to inaugurate the age of Pisces, and he was the teacher for the age of Pisces. Well, in 1625, an astronomer will tell you that we started moving out of alignment with Pisces, and in 1675, we started moving into alignment with Aquarius. Mm-hmm. And so that's the new age. Now, the energies of Pisces were individuality and dedication to an ideal. Individuality, man has come out of the herd in the last 2,000 years. Dedication to an ideal, it was dedication to the ideal of freedom that saved the world in World War I and World War II. So Pisces has done its job. We now stand as powerful individuals on our own. Well, now we're moving into Aquarius. The energies of Aquarius are synthesis and cooperation. So you can see how this fits the plan of evolution. These powerful individuals that have been built under Pisces are now going to learn how to work together under the age of Aquarius. There'll be no more dictators. Their time is over. They just don't know it yet. Aquarian energy only supports group work. So a couple things I want to say, though, at the outset that I didn't say, if you don't mind.
Okay. The
first thing I'd like your audience to know is that I'm not asking you, please don't believe anything I say. I'm not asking you to believe what I say. That would be blind belief, and I can't recommend that to anybody. All I ask is that you try to keep an open mind. Some of the stuff you're going to hear today, you've never heard before. And just try to keep an open mind and kind of let it sit in your lap while you ponder on it over the next couple of days. You don't have to argue with it or for it right away. The second thing I want your listeners to know, they always ask me, what's the source for my information? Well, the source for my information is something called the Ageless Wisdom Teachings, which you guys mentioned. The Ageless Wisdom is an ancient philosophy as old as humanity. And it's been spread down to humanity as teachings, first verbally and then in writing. The two latest teachers of the Ageless Wisdom were a woman named Alice A. Bailey, who wrote about 20 books in the 1930s and 40s. Some of her books are quite challenging to read. The most recent revealer of the Ageless Wisdom is a man named Benjamin Creme, spelled C-R-E-M-E. He was born in Scotland, lived in London, and was asked if he would travel the world and give out the latest teachings of the Ageless Wisdom to bring us up to date, and that the information that it's time for another teacher, this teacher for the age of Aquarius. So he did that for about 40 years. I knew Benjamin Creme and worked with him for about 30 years. Huh. I knew him very well. And there are volunteers of us around the world trying to continue giving out the information that Benjamin Creme was. He passed away about 10 years ago in his 90s. And so I'm trying to carry on that work, as are some other volunteers for an organization called Share International. Huh. So don't believe me. I'm not here to convince people what I say is true, just to give out my information.
You haven't written a book.
Well, I know I should. I was going to say, I really admire you two for writing books. That really takes discipline and stick-to-itiveness and everything else. And I really admire you for doing that. I have not gotten there yet.
I think it would help spread the word on all this.
Yeah. Benjamin Creme has, let's see, about 17 books on Amazon.com. Okay. And people can go on Amazon. They're very reasonably priced. Go on Amazon, check them out if you want to get more information.
Okay.
You can also go to our website, which we'll give out later.
Okay. So tell us about Maitreya and why do you call him the world teacher?
Yeah.
When's he going to be born?
He was born.
Okay.
I should define masters of wisdom first.
Okay.
He's the eldest of the masters of wisdom, he and the Buddha. The masters of wisdom are perfected human beings. They've gone through evolution ahead of us. After thousands of years of evolving as a human being, they became perfected human beings. They've learned all the lessons that planet Earth can teach. So they don't need to come back in bodies anymore. They are living as permanent consciousness or spirits, and they're living in the mountain and desert regions of the world. These are people we knew as Krishna, Buddha, Confucius, Jesus, Mary, the mother of Jesus, is one of the great masters. Joan of Arc is one of the great masters. These are these great advanced people that became perfect over their evolution and no longer need to take a body and live on the planet. They live in the mountain and desert regions of the world where there's no pollution to beat them up and to distract them. They don't work or sleep. They work 24 hours a day. They don't sleep. They don't need to eat. They can if they want to be polite, but they don't need to. And the two first human beings from planet Earth to graduate and become members of our senior spiritual kingdom were the Buddha and Maitreya. And so those two are the head of what we call our spiritual hierarchy or our spiritual kingdom, the senior members of our spiritual kingdom. There are 63 of these great masters of wisdom. And they're called masters, not because they're masters over us, but because they're masters over themselves. Mm-hmm. And they're no longer subject to all the laws of planet Earth, like gravity and so on. They can create things just out of energy, as you saw Sai Baba do, if you watch Sai Baba at all. Mm-hmm. He's one of the great avatars. So Maitreya is the head of the spiritual hierarchy here on planet Earth, and he is giving out his teachings. He comes to give out his teachings, which are the will of God and the purpose behind that. Those of us who have been trying to do the will of God all these years will finally find out what it is and what the purpose of it is behind the scenes. He's called the teacher for the age of Aquarius because he is the teacher sent by the spiritual universe, God, whatever you want to call it, to teach humanity at our level now. We're ready for the next teachings. See, the old saying is when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Well, humanity, the masters know we're ready now for the next teachings. And so he's in a self-made body. He made his own body in the Himalayas. Huh. He came down into Pakistan to kind of test drive it and make sure it worked like he thought it would. And he embodies the love of God, yet he can shake your hand and not zap you to death. And that's why it was hard to make. It took him years to make this physical body. He's 6'3", a male body, my understanding. I've never seen him that way. Then he flew from Pakistan to London, which is his base of operations, to fulfill the prophecy that he would come out of the clouds. Huh. And his base of operations is in London now. And he's waiting for the best time to come forward to humanity on worldwide radio and television and announce that he is here.
Do you have any idea when that's going to happen?
No. I can tell you nothing official from Share International, which publishes a monthly magazine online, by the way. It's free. Huh. Anybody can look at it. And my best thinking is that within the next 2 to 3 years, we will see him come forward and walk amongst us.
So are you saying that all these masters have physical bodies as well?
Some do and some don't. It depends on what their job is. Like there are 14 masters on the planet now, and before the age of Aquarius is over, my understanding, there'll be more than 40 masters in physical bodies on the planet, walking amongst us, teaching. Now, they're teachers. They're going to make suggestions. They'll never force us to do anything because our free will is sacred. And they know that, and they will observe that. So they're going to just make suggestions and give advice. There'll be a master in each area of our life. There'll be a master in healthcare, master in education, a master in government and politics, a master in food distribution, a master in every aspect of life that will make suggestions and try to get our world back on track with God's plan.
Well, we're kind of at a bad crux in the world right now.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, I'm thinking, how are they going to be able to keep us from blowing up the world? I mean, that's what.
Yes. I'm glad you asked that, Rob, because
that's my next question.
Benjamin Krem was in touch, whatever you want it to be, he was taught how to do this with one of the masters of wisdom. He wasn't able to say which master, because that would distract the master, because people would then be praying to the master and all that stuff. But one of the masters of wisdom was in constant contact with Benjamin Krem, and that's where Benjamin Krem's information came from. And so when Benjamin Krem spoke, lots of times it was as if his master was speaking. I say his master, the master that worked with him. He said that one of the things that's happening now because of Pisces is separation. Humanity is more separated from each other than we've ever been before. Look at American politics. You know, the liberals are way out here and the conservatives are way out here. They're not in the middle anymore. And he said that that separation is intentional. It's part of the plan to help us choose which way we want to go. So each of us has to make a choice whether we want to lean this way and follow those practices, or lean this way and follow those practices. And so the separation, although it's causing tremendous turmoil, is indeed a way to help us decide. It's all black and white now. There's very little gray area. And so that makes it easier to choose. And
does that mean reality splits off?
Say that again, please.
Does that mean that reality splits off into conservative and liberal?
No.
No,
no, not at all.
Together.
Reality's in the middle.
Yeah, okay.
And that's where we're going to end up.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that's why there's hope, because the masters have said that once we get going into this new age and we start following some of the suggestions the masters give us, the political parties, for example, will come closer to the middle. They'll be able to agree more. We're moving from a time of competition to a time of cooperation. Very powerful, powerful shift that humanity is going to be making.
Badly needed.
Now, yeah. Well, Benjamin Krem, we asked him, we said, now, Benjamin Krem, what will happen when Maitreya comes forward? Will everybody just go, oh, okay, let's do what he says? And he said, no. He said about a third of humanity will think that Maitreya has good ideas and, you know, I want to help. How can I help? Mm-hmm. About a third of humanity will go, whoa, I'm going to take a wait and see attitude and see if this guy really is a good guy. And the other third will probably go, Antichrist, Antichrist, look out. Don't believe a word he says. Uh-huh. And so that's how it'll start. But that third that thinks he makes sense and that will follow his suggestions is more than the critical mass needed to start the turnaround on this planet to where we start treating each other as who we are. Maitreya says, you've forgotten who you are. You're not humans having a spiritual experience. You're spirits having a human experience. And once we come to realize that, he's going to teach us self-realization. Once we come to realize who we really are and who everybody else is, we'll start treating them like they're sacred, which is exactly what needs to happen on this planet.
To keep him from blowing up.
So Maitreya is in London, has an office there. So are people, if he's walking down the street, are people seeing him as like a normal person?
Yes. He doesn't have an office, but he never sleeps or eats. He doesn't have a bed.
Okay.
But he lives in the Asian community of London. And several of the people there, more and more evolved people there, know who he is and why he's here. But they've been asked not to say anything until he reveals himself. Now, yes, he can walk. He does this. He walks down the street like an ordinary 6'3" man. And people will see him, say hi, but they don't know who he is. He has been appearing to people. See, they are the masters of energy. They control energy and work with it. And so he can appear as a child, as a girl, as a woman, as a homeless person, as an African American, as an Asian. He can appear any way he wants to temporarily to people. And he's been appearing to people over the last probably 25, 30 years in different ways. And when somebody thinks that they have experienced him, they've seen him, they used to write to Benjamin Krem, who was the editor of Sheridan National Magazine. Benjamin Krem would check with his master, and if it was one of the masters, then he would print that letter in Sheridan National Magazine and at the very end identify which master they saw or they experienced. Sometimes the masters would speak to people. Sometimes they'd just look at you. Sometimes they'd just smile. Sometimes I've seen, according to Benjamin Krem's master, and I'm not asking you to believe this, but a lot of people, the most commonly seen are Jesus, Maitreya, Mary, and the master who lives in Tokyo, Japan. The most common are Jesus and Maitreya. They work together. They're best buddies. They work together all the time. So I've seen both of them several. I've seen both of them several times.
Can they appear as animals?
No.
Like dogs?
No. Well, they could, but they don't.
Okay.
They inspire animals. That's what they've been doing with humanity behind the scenes for the millennia, is for eons, is inspiring humanity. All the greatest leaders of humanity over the years in all the different fields have been inspired by the masters behind the scenes. And now they're coming forward. It's time in their evolution for them to come forward and walk amongst us and help us, which is going to be challenging for them. They didn't have to put up with noise pollution and air pollution and all that stuff that we put up with every single day. So this is an amazing time. There's 14 on the planet now. There's one in Geneva, Darjeeling, Moscow, Paris, London, New York. There's one out here in the San Bernardino Mountains. The one in London is Maitreya. The one in Rome is the Master Jesus. He is back. He's not coming to end the world. He's coming. My understanding is his job is to take all the man-made dogma out of the Christian church, to get the Christian church back on track. Now, the Pope knows he's here, and a couple of cardinals around the Pope know he's here. Again, they've been asked to say nothing because we need to recognize them of our own free will. And when Maitreya comes forward, of course, we'll recognize him. We'll ultimately see him and Jesus standing side by side on television, introducing each other. This is my brother and wonderful companion, Master Jesus, and so on.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a great time in your life.
A whole different universe.
Yeah. Well, it is. It is. Nobody's ever seen a master as powerful as Maitreya. He embodies the love of God, and he will be sending that love out into the world. They always do, but he'll be sending it out so powerfully when he's on television that you will feel it in your heart. A lot of people will be crying. I'll probably be one of them. We will feel the love of God in our heart like we've never felt it before. Trust the love of God in your heart, because the Antichrist can't do that. By the way, the Antichrist for our time has come and gone. There is such a thing, but it's an energy, not a person. It's an energy that's released through one or more people to break down the old system and pave the way for the new. In Nero's time, Nero was the Antichrist. That old saying, he fiddled while Rome burned.
Right.
He single-handedly destroyed this great Roman Empire and paved the way for Christendom. In our time, if you think about it, you know who it was. It was Hitler and Mussolini and a couple Japanese generals. The Antichrist energy was released through them and to break down the old and pave the way for the masters to come forward. Now, it didn't happen as quickly as the masters thought it would, because since we have free will, we created the Cold War. And so that delayed everything. But Hitler was the Antichrist.
Where does Trump fall in this?
Where does Trump fall in this?
Yeah.
Well, I have my guesses, but I think I'd rather stay out of politics.
Okay. Well, no, I'm just curious because he has the same authoritarian drive that Hitler had, that Mussolini had, that Pinochet had. You know, that
you're absolutely right.
Yeah. The dictators all over the world have had.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is he like the last?
Certain people let the dark forces get a hold of them. And that was Hitler. He let the dark forces get a hold of him. And he was in a very powerful position, as is Trump, as our other leaders around the world. And if they can get a hold of somebody like that, they'll use them tremendously. Mm-hmm. See, they know once the masters come forward, the dark forces, their time is over. They know it. They know it. So they're fighting to the death to prevent the masters from coming forward. They're doing it in many ways.
What are they waiting for? We need them now.
We need them now. This is
Well, there are cosmic energies we don't even understand. Okay. And you probably understand a lot of them, Trish, but there are cosmic energies beyond our planet, beyond our solar system, way out there that we don't, way beyond Sirius, that we don't understand. And those energies affect how we react to things, and we don't even know about it, but they do. And so Maitreya is waiting for the perfect time, the best time possible, to come forward when we will be most inclined to listen to him. He said that's probably going to be after the stock market collapses. Now, the masters aren't going to cause the stock market to collapse, but we will through our greed, not you and I, but yeah, the big money people. He said, you know, money runs the world right now. Money is God. Try doing something without any money. Yeah, I mean, it's just impossible. Once money starts to disappear, people and countries will be saying, what do we do now? What do we do? Perfect time for Maitreya to step forward and say, I have some ideas. And then the real God can replace the money God over time as people become convinced that good things truly are happening.
This raises a lot of questions. It's fascinating, though. I mean,
you know, Rob, to get back to your blowing ourselves up, Benjamin Crumb's master told him that we are now receptive enough and open enough to a growth in consciousness that the masters can prevent atomic weapons from launching.
Huh.
Yeah. And that if somebody tries to launch an atomic weapon against another country, it will not leave the silo.
Huh.
So that's, we don't have to, according to the master. Now, don't believe me, but that's what my information is that the masters will not let us blow up this planet anymore. They just won't. Because, see, everything is a system. Our planet is a system. The mineral life is a system. The vegetable life is a system. The animal kingdom is a system. The human kingdom is a system. The spiritual kingdom is a system. And our planet is a system. Well, not only that, but our solar system is a system. And our galaxy is a system. Everything is a system evolving. Earth is holding back the evolution of our solar system because we can't end war and we can't end starvation. So they're not going to let them blow up planet Earth, because then that would set the whole solar system back eons. It's just, they just can't let that happen.
How do ETs fit in this, or do they?
Oh, boy, do they ever. Well, I'm glad you asked. Benjamin Crumb, you know who George Adamski is?
Yeah, sure.
What was the last
George
name?
Adamski was the first great guy.
Yeah, from the 1950s.
Benjamin Crumb worked with him.
Oh, okay.
He worked with him and with the space people for 10 years. And then he was asked to do this. So Benjamin Crumb calls them space people, because aliens is a horrible name made up for them by the Western governments who want us to be afraid of them. And we shouldn't be. Benjamin Crumb said they're just people. Now, they look a little different, but they're just people. He said humanity is full of nothing. Cosmos is full of nothing but humanity. We're out there all over the place, and we don't have one eye and claws. You know, that's those are planets that haven't evolved yet. But humanity is everywhere. Now, this will shock you, but the UFOs that we see are from our neighbors. They're from Venus and Mars.
Huh.
Mars is the manufacturing planet for UFOs in our solar system. They love to build things. Now, how can there be life on Mars when a camera lands and it sees nothing but desolation? I'll tell you. There is something called etheric matter. The ether, as you know, ether is a very high, fine vibrating gas. Well, above that, even finer and higher vibrating, is another phase of physical life. So we know solid, liquid, gas. Above gas is etheric. Well, here's the deal. Ours is the only planet in our solar system just the right distance from the sun that we can have solid, liquid, and gas bodies and life. We can have trees. We can have oceans. We can have lakes. Our body is mostly water, you know, and we don't burn up and we don't freeze. All the other planets have that problem. So they live in etheric physical bodies. Now, they have etheric vision, so they see each other just like you and I see each other. What they can do, they can temporarily lower the vibration of their body to become temporarily solid physical, so we can see them, shake their hands, whatever. But they live in etheric physical. Their houses are, there's houses and dogs and cats and cars and transportation and people all over Mars, all over the place. But we can't see them because the camera doesn't have etheric vision. The beginning of etheric vision is people who see auras. That's the beginning of etheric vision. We will all eventually have etheric vision. But what they do, this is so interesting to me, they can do the same thing with their spacecraft. They can lower the vibration of their spacecraft low enough that we can actually see it, take videos of it, take photos of it. And then when they want to disappear, they either just raise the vibration and poof, disappear, or fly off so fast that we don't even see them. And so we only see them when they want us to see them. They lower the vibration of their craft. Now, there have been photos taken. I have one that's just gorgeous. It's of a UFO creating a crop circle in England. And right after he creates the crop circle, he's transitioning from solid physical back to etheric physical. And somebody took a picture right at that moment. And you can see right through. You can see the spacecraft, but you can see right through it. There's telephone lines and stuff behind it. You can see him. He's halfway between etheric and solid physical in the moment that photo was taken.
I'd love
so
to see that photo.
So that's how they live on the other planets. They live in etheric physical. Yeah.
Huh.
Now, they have been asked to help us. Every planet has a spiritual kingdom. Our masters have asked their masters for help and said, would you please help us because we are holding back the evolution of the solar system. So what these spacecraft, they're here on a four-part mission, and it's a mission of mercy. One thing they're doing is they have huge motherships, and because they're etheric, they can be in the sky, in the water, in the oceans, and in the ground.
Hmm.
And they do nothing 24/7 but mop up pollution.
God.
Most of our pollution is nuclear pollution from our nuclear energy plants. Mm-hmm. And our instruments are too crude to measure the etheric radiation that's pouring out of those plants every day, all day. And that's the most dangerous of the nuclear pollution is the etheric. Benjamin Krem's master said that etheric nuclear pollution is causing earlier and earlier onset of Alzheimer's, and it's causing a much higher incidence of children born autistic. It's because of nuclear pollution. We've got to shut down all the plants. But in the meantime, our space brothers and sisters are up there filtering out like a big vacuum cleaner, sucking up the pollution from planet Earth. Why? To keep the planet alive. Now, they can't suck it all up. They can't clean it all up because they didn't make the mess. So karmically, we have to end up cleaning it up. What they're doing is they're doing as a favor. They're keeping the planet alive until we wake up and finish the cleanup job. So that's one thing they're doing. Another thing they're doing as part of their mission, they have created four huge star-like objects. These four, there was one made on each of the planets, Jupiter, Mars, Venus, and one other one. Might have been Saturn. These are huge, huge UFOs. About 5 football fields big. And they're up in the air. There's one north, south, east, and west. So no matter where you are on the planet, you see one of them. Well, here's what they do. They twinkle like a star. They're doing that to announce the imminent arrival of the teacher for the age of Aquarius. Just like 2,000 years ago, the Star of Bethlehem announced the imminent arrival of the being Jesus, teacher for the age of Pisces. That one was 3 football fields big. Now, that was not a UFO, that was not a star, that was a UFO. It moved through the heavens and led the wise men to the baby Jesus, shined down on the baby Jesus, so that they could find him and bring him their gifts. That was a UFO. Well, the stars that are up there now are UFOs up there to announce Maitreya's imminent arrival. I've seen one out. My wife was looking out the kitchen window. She said, "Is that Maitreya star out there?" And I said, "I don't know. Let's go look." So we went outside and we looked at it. Now they're telepathic. Now, so if they're not distracted, they can hear you. So I said, "If you're Maitreya star, would you please flash colors?" And I took my cell phone, put it on full zoom. And all of a sudden, boom, 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 red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple.
Wow.
And you go, wow. All these amazing pink colors came out of this UFO. It was incredible. For about a minute, I got about 20 seconds of video on it. And then I said, "If you're the star, would you please move?" Now, we waited about 30 seconds, I think, and then it went down and over and back. And I looked at my wife and I said, "Did that move or did I make that up?" And she said, "No, that moved." Wow. So we've seen Maitreya star. Yeah. And if you see a star that wasn't up there, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it'll be one of the brightest lights in the sky on a clear night. Look at it closely and see if it flashes colors, because stars don't do that. And a lot of times they flash colors. But that's the second job of the space people. The third mission is they make the crop circles, the corn circles in Europe and around the world. Uh-huh. Now, most of them are made around England and London because that's where Maitreya is. But they make all these crop circles around. And, of course, they bend the crops without breaking them and so on. Benjamin Krem said what they do, their spacecraft are so sophisticated that their engines, the propulsion, responds to human thought. They don't push buttons and pull levers to make their spacecraft go. They just think where they want to go and how fast, and the spacecraft goes there. He said, so what they do, they think up the design they want to make, and then they lower their spacecraft down to just, you know, maybe 10, 20 feet above the ground. And then in like 8 seconds, these huge crop circles are made. Some of them just gigantic. They're made in about 8 or 9 seconds, he said. They do it so fast. And then the UFO takes off and leaves. And they're leaving that as a calling card. Benjamin Krem said that's their friendly, harmless calling card to say, "We're here." So that's the third thing they're doing. They're creating these crop circles to let us know that they're here. Now, these crop circles are also marking the magnetic grid of planet Earth. Mm-hmm. Planet Earth has a magnetic grid, and the space brothers are going to be giving us a science called the science of light. And what that science will do is create endless, pollution-free, free-of-charge energy by combining the sun's light with the magnetic grid of planet Earth that will satisfy all of our energy needs for the next 2,000 years.
The power companies are going to be mad about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are.
Yeah, Dick, I have a question for you, Dick.
Yes.
Is there an active opposition to Maitreya and Jesus or whatever, the Master's coming back? Is there something active on the planet to oppose it?
Yes, the dark forces. Mm-hmm. The dark forces work with people in powerful positions who let them in. You know, if you're trying to do the will of God and you're trying to do the kind thing and you're trying to do the right thing and you're trying to help humanity advance and so on, the dark forces can't get their grip on you. But if you're all about ego and destruction and power, they can. Mm-hmm. And so what they're doing is they're using people on the planet to hold back evolution. This is an interesting thing that's taught by the Ageless Wisdom, and I hope you find it as interesting as I do. I'll tell you what the dark forces are. First of all, let's figure that the spiritual universe is up here and the physical universe is down here, planet Earth, you and I, and so on. Okay, everything that's physical came out of spirit. That's called the process of involution. from spirit to physical. Mm-hmm. And the great plan, of course, is that everything that's physical will ultimately return to spirit. That's called evolution. Well, there are great, great angels and spiritual forces that are helping with the process of evolution, including the Masters of Wisdom. Well, there are also great, great beings who are helping with the process of involution, taking spirit and making it physical and holding up the physical matter. Those great beings are keeping our planet intact, keeping us on the planet, and so on. That's their job, the spirit, the angels of involution. Well, sometimes what happens is they slop over onto the evolutionary side and hold back evolution. That's what we call evil. So then they become the dark forces. When they slop over their job and start holding back evolution, they become the dark forces, the forces of evil. And that's what the dark forces are. They're part of the plan, but they're too rambunctious. They're going beyond what they're supposed to do.
Are they aware of that? Are they aware of what they're doing?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And that's why they're fighting so hard right now, is because they don't want to go back to their boring old job of holding up planet Earth. You know, they want to be more powerful than that. So those are the forces that work through Hitler, through Mussolini, through Nero, through those Japanese generals in World War II, and so on, through all the great evil dictators of the past. And that's how they're trying to hold back evolution, is by keeping us from loving each other and taking care of each other instead of destroying each other.
How about the...
So they're very active. There were some times, by the way, Rob, where we were... Benjamin Graham would hold a conference up, and first he'd give a lecture in New York, then he'd come to L.A. and give a lecture, then he'd go to San Francisco and give a lecture, then he'd go to Tokyo and give a lecture, and so on. Traveled the world for over almost 40 years giving out this information. When he went to San Francisco, he would have a long weekend conference up there, and I was one of the lucky people who was invited to attend, and we would be able to hear him lecture, and we would meditate with him at night, and we were able to ask him questions. And what were we talking about? I lost my train of thought.
This is fascinating. Just keep talking.
Well, let me ask a question then.
Please, Rob.
Some people listening to you,
yeah,
would react with fear because of the Christian belief in not only the second coming, but the end of the world.
Yes.
Related. Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about that and why that's
sure.
Not true.
Sure. According to the Age of Wisdom, again, I'm not asking you to believe this, but if you see when I heard Benjamin Krem's lecture talking about the Age of Wisdom, a lot of it went right over my head.
Mm-hmm.
It was an awful lot to grasp. And it was more sophisticated than I was at the time, and probably now too. But the 10-15% of it that I understood made total sense to me. It was just so logical. You know, it's like the individual was built out of Pisces, and now we're going to learn to work together through Aquarius. That's evolutionary. You know, that's moving from competition to cooperation. And so, what was your question?
It was about
the second coming, you know.
The second coming,
well, second
and
end
of the world.
The Age of Wisdom, belief. Thank you. The Age of Wisdom says that every planet has a lifetime. Every solar system has a lifetime. Every galaxy has a lifetime. Every planet has 7 stages of life. And each stage is millions and millions of years long. Planet Earth is in the 4th stage of the 7. So is Mars. We're even, except that Mars is scientifically way ahead of us. Our planet is in the 4th stage of 7 stages. So before we can even complete this stage, there are millions of years left. And then after that, we've got to go through the 5th, 6th, and 7th. For millions and millions and millions of years left, this planet's going to be around. And here's what happens at the end of the planetary growth for every planet, every solar system, every galaxy. We become, when we become a perfect planet, we disappear. We become etheric. And all the souls on the planet have become masters of wisdom. That's where we're all going. We're all evolving thousands of lifetimes. You don't have to learn it all in one lifetime. That's the good news. You'll be back.
That's
and the
belief.
Soul remembers where we left off in our last lifetime. And it, our next lifetime, it picks up in our new body right where we left off. So any lessons you learn in this lifetime, you don't have to learn again, because the soul remembers where we left off in our evolutionary consciousness, growth of consciousness. So this planet has millions of years left. And why would Jesus come and wave his hand over a desolate planet? That accomplishes nothing. It's just not going to happen that way. This planet is going to evolve just like the rest of society does. The rest of life on this planet evolves. And so until we become a perfect planet. Now, Venus is in the seventh round. They're almost a perfect planet. Benjamin Krem said, if you were to meet a man from Venus, you would think he was a god. That's how loving and wise they are. I have something to read to you about this. This was published in all the major news media back in 1985. It was revealed that during the 1960s, Paul John XXIII, also known as the Good Pope, to whom thousands of miracles and healings are ascribed all over the world, had encounters with extraterrestrial beings. A well-documented encounter took place one evening in July 1961 at the Pope's summer residence of Castel Gandolfo, Italy. While in the garden, the Pope and one of his assistants, and it was his assistant who told the story to the media, and one of his assistants saw an unusual craft in the sky. Quote, it was oval and had blue and amber flashing lights. The craft seemed to fly over our heads for a few minutes and then landed over the grass on the south end of the garden. Huh. A strange being came out of the craft. My information is this was a Venusian, somebody from Venus. Huh. A strange being came out of the craft. He looked human, except that he was surrounded by a golden light and had pointed ears. The Pope and I kneeled down immediately. We didn't know what we were witnessing, but we knew that it was not from this world, so it should have been a celestial event. The Holy Father stood up and walked towards the being. The two of them spent 15 to 20 minutes together. It seemed they talked intensely. They did not call me, so I remained where I was and could not hear anything of the conversation. The being turned around and walked toward the craft and left right away. The pontiff came towards me and told me, "The sons of God are everywhere. Sometimes we have difficulties in recognizing our own brother."
Where
isn't that
published?
A great story? It was published in a U.S. newspaper is all it says. I'm thinking the New York Times, probably.
Yeah, that's pretty, that's fascinating.
1985 it was published.
So, but humans could not survive on Venus.
Not without a spacesuit.
I mean, the heat would be overwhelming as well as, you know, the total cloud cover of the planet. And I don't know if we know what the land is like underneath.
I don't think we do, but we couldn't survive on any planet without special housing and
right.
or space.
Yeah. Same with
so,
Mars, right?
But yeah. Benjamin Krem said that his master told him that the masters love our space exploration. They think it's really wonderful that we're doing that. And what was the other thing he said? He said something else about the space.
Wouldn't there be another way of traveling through space which doesn't require a craft going out of body? And
bingo. The Space Brothers are going to teach us that.
Good.
They're going to teach us how to travel in time without using up any time. Mm-hmm. In other words, they can travel from Earth to Venus in like 1 minute. Mm-hmm. They're going to teach us how to do that. Mm-hmm. It's you transport yourself through use of the mind. That's how the masters travel. They travel by thought. Isn't that interesting?
I believe that.
They travel by thought. So they just think up where they want to appear and boom, they're there.
Yeah, that's teleportation.
It is.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. And the way they communicate is by telepathy. Mm. That's their method of communication. They're talking to each other all the time because they're working out the plan. And each master has a piece of the plan that they're responsible for. Except Maitreya, he's responsible for the whole thing because he's the leader.
I wish they'd hurry up and get started.
I know. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah. What are some of the changes in our lives that Maitreya will inspire?
Well, he's going to teach us and make suggestions of several things. Number one, that we make our cities smaller. Cities are too big. Make the city smaller and have way more green parks and areas of greenery in each city. That's one of the things that will happen. The other thing that will happen is almost everything that we grow and eat will be organic. Mm-hmm. And it won't cost more than anything else. Yeah. So we'll have organic food. Another thing that they're going to teach us is how to do education. See, every big institution that we have was built with Piscean energy. Uh-huh. Piscean energy is being withdrawn. So the educational system, the healthcare system, the government, you name it, it's all collapsing. Yeah. It's not working. It's not serving humanity anymore. And that's because there's no energy behind it anymore. So what we are going to do at the suggestion of the masters and with their help, what we're going to do is rebuild these great institutions so that they will serve humanity for the next 2,000 years. So there's going to be a lot of changes coming down the pike, and they'll all be positive. Healthcare will change. Healthcare, just general everyday healthcare, will now include things like homeopathy, osteopathy, healing by colors and sound. Mm-hmm. All of that kind of stuff will become part of just the general healing process on the planet in our medical system. Our educational system will change. Right now, people go to college to learn a career. They don't go to college to learn about life. Well, they should be going to college to learn about life, not a career. That's what's going to happen. Huh. And the little kids growing up, grade school, junior high, high school, they are going to be treated as living souls. Hmm. They are going to be made aware of who they are, not forcibly, but by their own recognition. They will see who they are, and they will be treated as souls with a purpose. And they will be taught that way. So what's going to happen in the future is the instruction of teachers will become vital. Because these teachers will have to be able to recognize each individual student on their own for who they are. They will get the help of a master or a senior disciple of the masters, but education is going to change tremendously. We're going to learn about who we are and how to treat each other.
So do you think that the scientific community will buy into these masters and what they're doing, or wouldn't they just see it as a cult?
Yeah. I don't think the scientific community will see that as a cult. I think the religious community will.
Uh-huh.
And I think a lot of the real conservative politicians will see it as a cult. Mm-hmm. Benjamin Graham said that the conservatives in religion and government will be the last to join in. They will be fighting it. Because the conservatives want to hold on to it the way it is. Don't change it. We know how to work within this system. Don't change the system. Well, all the young people now and people like you and I, we see the need for change. We can't wait for change. You know, and
bring it on.
I know, exactly. Exactly. But, so those are the progressives of the world. And they'll be the first ones to say, good idea, Maitreya, how can I help? You know.
Those will be some of the things.
There's a lot more.
Yeah. Richard Benjamin's books would you recommend to somebody who's not familiar with them?
There are four online that are free. You can download for free. I'll tell you where to go. Go to share-ecart.com. share-ecart.com. There are four books there that are free to download, and those are the four I would recommend.
Okay.
And you can start with any one of them. It's just so wonderful to know that what's going to happen is we're here for a purpose. My parents were here to save the world in World War II. I mean, I'm not that old. World War II. And they did. I mean, men couldn't wait to go to war, even though they knew they were probably going to die, to save the world. And women went to work in factories. They were the right generation here at the right time for that purpose, to solve that problem. Well, guess what? We're the right generation here for this time to solve this problem, because we can handle the chaos that's going on the planet right now without losing our mind. Doesn't mean we will handle it, but we're capable of it. And so we're the generation that's here now, and the generation of our children that are here now to help turn the world around. We are going to get the world back on track with God's plan, and we're going to do it of our own free will. We're going to see the need. You know, the royal road to spiritual growth is prayer, meditation, and service. Prayer, meditation, and service. Now, it doesn't have to be a fancy meditation. I do a little 15-minute meditation every morning, focus here at the Ajna Center, between the eyebrows, for 15 minutes. And I focus there using the mantra OM, O-M. But I don't say it out loud, because that's a very low vibration. I think it. I think OM. The O activates the heart chakra and the throat chakra. And if you go, you'll feel your head buzz. That activates the crown, the Ajna Center, A-J-N-A, right here between the eyebrows, and the crown center at the top of the head. So OM brings the focus up. And you just meditate for 15 minutes. You don't say OM all the time. You just wait, and if your attention drops, then you think OM a couple times and bring it back. That's all you have to do, 15 minutes. That's a generic meditation. Doesn't have anything to do with any religion or anything. And service. I mean, pick a charity you like and do donation work for them, or send them money, or walk across the street and pick up a scrap of paper and throw it in the trash can. You just serve the world. I mean, there's so many ways to serve people and the universe. These people that take care of animals, wonderful service. There's so many ways to serve. People used to say to Benjamin Graham, how does God want me to serve? What's the way I'm supposed to serve? Benjamin Krem say, there's thousands of needs out there in the world. Just find your favorite one and go serve. Huh. And that's exactly what I tell people, you know, just find your favorite way to serve. Service creates spiritual growth. That's all the spiritual kingdom does, is serve. God serves us by keeping us in his mind so earth doesn't blow up. The masters serve us by inspiring us behind the scenes, creating information through the ageless wisdom teachings and so on. That's the universe is all service. The space brothers and sisters are serving us now. And we will meet them eventually. They will be, Maitreya will introduce them. See, they're not going to come forward until Maitreya does, because it's not their planet. Uh-huh. It's Maitreya's planet. So he will, after he introduces himself, they will come forward. They will walk amongst us. They will teach us. And they'll teach us some good stuff. They're so far advanced.
Yeah. So, Dick, we're coming to the end of our hour. I have one more.
This is fascinating. We can talk to him for another 4 hours, Rob.
Yeah. I know. I want to talk about UFOs sometime. Happy.
That'd be good. Yeah. So how can we recognize the teacher, Maitreya, when we see them on TV, there probably will be some fake Maitreyas coming forward, I would think, because that's the way
things
go. Okay, there have been. All right.
Well, there have been. They knock on Benjamin Krem's door, you know, once a week. Somebody's on his door saying, "Hi, I'm Maitreya. I just wanted to introduce myself to you." And Share International, we do booths at spiritual fairs, and we hand out information. Every time we go, there's a booth with some guy calls himself Maitreya. Every time, I swear, every time. So yeah, they're out there. How you'll recognize Maitreya when he comes on television and radio is this way. Number one, I already said number one. Nobody knows how long he'll speak. 20 minutes, 40 minutes, nobody knows. Nobody knows the day or the hour. But if you hear about a big worldwide interview at 2 a.m, get up and watch it. Because I don't think it'll be taped. I don't think you can tape it. So anyway, the first way is he embodies the love of God. He will send it out into our hearts like we have never experienced the love of God before. I mean, there'll be so many people crying from joy, you know, because that's where joy comes from. Comes from the heart, from the soul. So that'll be one way. Another way is that he'll be speaking, but when you look at him, his mouth isn't moving. Oh, telepathically, he will communicate to each of us in whatever our native language is. Mm-hmm. Now, if you can imagine a consciousness big enough to do that.
Worldwide,
you'll speak to everybody in their native language. And the third way you'll know it's him is that when he's done speaking, the press reports around the world will show that there, while he was speaking, there were hundreds of thousands of miraculous healings all around the world while he was speaking. In those three ways, you'll know that this is the world teacher for the age of Aquarius, that he comes to teach us how to live like souls, how to turn this planet around to follow God's plan.
We need him
and
today.
It'll take a while, but some things will happen very quickly. Benjamin Krem said that from the 2 years from Maitreya coming forward, there'll be no more starvation. See, we have an 18% per capita surplus of food right now, but the Western world stores it in these huge storage bins until we get the right price for it. And if we don't get the right price, it rots. That food needs to be distributed around the world. They have plans for all this stuff. So we've got the food. It's just not getting out there. And so they have plans for how to do all this. Maitreya's first priorities are food for everybody, shelter for everybody, health care for everybody, and education for everybody free as a human right. Okay. And the fifth thing he comes to do is teach us how to clean up the planet.
Huh.
We are the keepers of all the kingdoms below us. It's our job to take care of the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, the mineral kingdom. And then we're the go-between between those kingdoms and the spiritual kingdom. So we're the focus. It happens through us. We have to do the work because we made the mess. So we have to clean the planet up and turn it around. And it will take a while, but some stuff will happen very, very quickly. Yeah.
What's going to happen? What's going to happen to the billionaires?
Well, when the stock market collapses, they're going to have some second thoughts. Because they're the ones that are going to get hurt the most by the stock market collapsing. And so I think you'll find some of them will just kind of disappear into the shadows. Mm-hmm. And some of them will come forward and start donating money to causes around the world big time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there'll be a tremendous shift. A lot of them will see the point of all this and really join in helping. Huh. Yeah.
Thank you, Dick.
I have a website.
Oh, Dick. This has been.
Tell us.
I gotta have you back to talk about this UFO stuff too. The ETs.
I'd love to, because I only gave you two parts of their mission.
Yeah, okay.
Oh.
So
what's your website?
Yeah, tell people where they can find you.
The website for more information. It's not mine. It's Share International's, because I'm a volunteer for Share International. So here it is. www.sharental.org. Share.intl.org. No dashes, no nothing. Yeah, and the one for Southern California that they can find me on is all spelled out, Share International SoCal. No hyphens. Share International, all spelled out, SoCal, S-O-C-A-L, stands for Southern California.
.org. Okay.
Right. And they can go from that website to the main international one, too. So these are really beautiful websites. And they have Benjamin Krem giving lectures and just all kinds of stuff on this website.
Yeah. I tried to look you up on the internet and Facebook, and there's a lot of people named Dick Larson, unfortunately.
Aren't there?
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. Some of my interviews on YouTube are posted on there. But that's about it. I don't have a website for myself because it's not about me. It's about my tree and the master.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Fascinating.
It's been very
good. You guys are wonderful. Keep up the great work.
Okay, thank you.
I want to know about these ETs. I want to know when this is all going to happen.
we'll talk to you again.
Yeah, I'll talk to you soon.
The answer is soon, Trish.
Okay, thank God.
All right.
Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Thanks for joining The Mystical Underground. Visit www.themysticalunderground.com for the latest blog post and book info. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app. Listen to the podcast at podcast.themysticalunderground.com. Follow Trish and Rob on Instagram at Trish and Rob McGregor. Follow us on Twitter at The Mystic Cast. Send email to podcast@themysticalunderground.com. And until next week, thank you for listening and stay mystical.